We welcome in our friend Mike Lowe of the Portland Press Herald, who's not that excited to talk to us, but happy to put his yard work behind him for the day.
I want to listen to the song.
Well, yeah, it's better than all of us, old Otis Redding.
Right. Holy cow.
How have you been, Mike?
Good. Very good. Yourself? I mean, it's, I don't know what I'm doing day to day, but, you know, we're getting through each one.
So. Absolutely. Well, you had a very, very interesting story in yesterday's paper, the Maine Sunday Telegram, Portland Press Herald, about youth sports and some differing points of view on it. But safe to say, there are a lot more sports than you might have imagined. The pros can't figure out how to get it going, but youth sports in Maine doesn't seem to have skipped much of a beat.
Well, you know, we've got baseball, we've got softball, we've got basketball now. Tennis has been rolling right along with camps. I know soccer's had some camps, but they're different. Are they going to have some camps where, you know, they're focusing on individual small group drills rather than, you know, they're not playing any games, which is you know, I think that's ideal. But yeah, you know what? Basketball is the one sport. It's the big animal out there, I think, because it's a sport you can't socially distance if you're going to play basketball correctly.
Exactly.
And that's the concern that a lot of people have about basketball. And it's indoors, which is another concern.
Yeah, and so how many basketball teams, youth basketball teams, were playing games in gyms around the state this past weekend?
Well, I was told there were 72 this weekend that were in this particular tournament. 72 teams in three sites across the tournament, one in Waterville, one in Portland, and one in Sauk. That's a lot of basketball being played. A lot of kids inside. I was there the first weekend. I saw what they're doing. They're doing everything they can to make this as safe as possible for everybody involved until the kids get on a court and then they're playing, you know. The fans have to bring their own chairs. There are no bleachers. You have to sit six feet apart. You have to wear a mask. Coaches have to wear a mask. Before they enter the building, they have to have a temperature check. And they have a travel temperature check as well, a health check. Coaches call the night before. Are you good? Are you okay? Then the next morning, it's the same thing. They are sanitizing the balls and the bench areas as soon as the game's over and the team leaves. Boom, they're cleaning all that up. They're doing everything they can, and then the kids play, and that's the concern that okay, they're in each other's face, they're diving on the floor, they're sharing the ball, they're sweating, they're breathing heavy. Is this going to cause someone to have a positive test? Are they going to go home and pass it on to their parents? You know, that's the concern that everybody has. And I'll tell you what, and I talked to parents there, and they are all saying, we understand the risk, but we feel my son or my daughter needed this feeling of being with their friends again, being competitive, being active again after 3 months of not doing anything.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting is, and you pointed out in your article, the recommendations of the Centers for Disease Control, the National Federation for High School Sports, the Aspen Institute, everybody who does this sort of thing, all says the same thing, that nobody should be playing basketball games inside of gyms. And yet...
Well, they're saying nobody should be playing games, period.
Well, yes.
Really,
is right.
What they're saying. It doesn't matter what the sport is. They don't want you playing sports. They don't want you playing games. They want you, if you're going to be active, they feel that you can be doing this and still have social interaction with friends in small groups and work on skills. That's what they're saying right now. That's what you should be doing right now, according to all these groups. Small group, same kids in each, they're calling them pods.
Right.
You have the same pod of four or five kids every time, you know, and just working on individual skills, working on drills. They're not recommending the games. Now, I went to a baseball league opened up here last Thursday, and I went to that game, and I know you saw the photo, and they're doing whatever they can to alleviate, any concerns by having, the rules. And there's no umpire behind the catcher so that the catcher can back up a little more, be a little further away from the batter. you can't take a lead off first base, and the first baseman doesn't have to hold you, so there's social distancing there. The umpire is behind the pitcher's mound calling balls and strikes there. Kids are supposed to socially distance in the dugout, and as you point out, they weren't in that photo I took. And the coach kept reminding them, you kids have got to, you know, stay apart from each other. And but every coach I talked to said that's going to be the big thing, because these kids haven't seen each other for so long, they want to be together. And I can understand that, but you have to be careful at the same time.
Yep, and as a parent of a little guy, man, I hear that, and he's not even into organized sports yet, but he misses being around his friends. But, you know, that's why there are supposed to be adults and parents. With this basketball situation, Mike, how much of that, in terms of the organizational piece, is driven by money? Are these largely for-profit basketball groups?
They are, but I will tell you, in talking to people for the story, the parents drove this. The parents wanted this to happen. They contacted the organizer and said, when are we playing? They contacted the coaches of, I talked to a couple of different, you know, there's so many different basketball travel clubs in the state. We talked to another one who said, you know, the parents kept telling me, we need to be playing. The kids need to be outside playing. You know, let's do this. Let's make this happen. Let's have some games. You know, it's, and if you get enough people telling you we want to do this, you know, and you're going to do it, especially, you know, if you're making some money. Now, I don't know how much money they're making off of this, because they're not getting as many teams. Normally, they would have many more teams playing. Normally, they'd have, they'd have more fans there. So I'm not sure this is a money-making thing for anyone who's doing this. But I think I do believe it's entirely driven by parents who want the kids to get out and do something.
Do the parents have to sign a waiver, Mike, that they won't sue if their kids get sick?
Anybody who's participating has to sign a waiver, a liability waiver, that they understand the risk and they're not going to, you know, hold anybody liable if they get sick.
Wow.
This is even that baseball league that I covered had to sign same liability waiver. You know what? We understand the risk, but we're not going to hold you accountable if anybody gets sick.
Now, this is me being the cranky old guy, but, you know, I don't remember, and you and I are right in the same vintage here. I remember a time when you could go through the whole summer, and after baseball ended, Little League or whatever ended, and usually in July. That was it. There were no other organized sports. And, you know, we all managed to find a way to entertain ourselves.
Right. Well, the reason is that these basketball games are being held now is because these are ones that were supposed to be played in March and April. and they you know, they couldn't, everything was shut down. And there was, and again, there was no attempt by, you know, like the Firecrackers AU program here in Maine. I'm not sure if you're aware of them, but they're for girls basketball program. They are probably they've sent 30 girls on to college in the last 8 years for scholarships. They're the most successful one. They're not participating. Hmm. They're not even having practices until probably late August at the earliest. They said we're not about that. You know, we're about making sure, you know, everybody stay safe, and if the kids want to work on individual drills, we'll give them stuff to work on. So they're not part of this. But there are people who said, we want our kids playing, let's put something together, and they did. And I will say this. I spoke to one doctor who said, here's the thing about playing inside. Nobody's done it yet.
Right.
So we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. So I can't tell you. It's all I know is that Everybody feels that it's better to be outside than inside, but there has been no studies done on sports being played indoors right now because nobody's done it. So we're kind of like, you know, we'll find out.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, this is almost like a test run. You know, can we play inside?
We're talking.
You know, I think. I've been hearing down here from high school coaches and stuff that they've been told that they cannot have anything to do with their kids until August. This is apparently the superintendent down here talking about not allowing any high school sports until August.
Yeah.
Which, again, that falls under a different, AAU basketball, travel soccer, whatever, baseball. They don't follow the same rules as the MPA schools do. So, listen, I understand everybody wants the kids to do something, and I understand it. And when I was there, I was in the building. I wore a mask the entire time. I stayed my distance. I actually watched from quite a distance away because I wanted to see, get an overall view of everything going on. And I will say this, Rich, they're doing everything they can to make this as safe as they can. The question comes, what happens from what's being done on the court,
right?
The action on the court. And if anybody's at risk most, it's the officials,
And probably some of the coaches.
And some of the coaches, yeah. So it's interesting. I'm sure Bowdoin College canceled its fall sports season already.
And I wanted to ask you about that. Is that the beginning of dominoes beginning to fall with other Maine schools?
Well, I was going to ask you that, too. I wouldn't be surprised if some of the Division III schools follow suit. And it came down to the fact that, for them, they weren't going to have everybody on campus.
Right.
And if you're not going to have kids on campus, how can you have a sports program? So I do think you're going to see some programs, not have fall sports this year, which is, this is going to last until who knows how long this is going to last, Rich.
I do think it was interesting, though, Mike, that Bowdoin also made another statement that they're at least going to explore the possibility of maybe playing those fall sports in the spring semester if they can.
Well, that's a question that needs, how do you do that? There are a bunch of other NESCAC schools who are going to do that.
Right.
There are other divisions, do you have your practices in the fall and the fall sports in the spring? Who do you play? Listen, I'm sure if there's any interest in doing that, other Division III schools here in Maine would say, we'll play you,
Right.
We're with you. I do think you're going to see some schools follow suit. We've talked about this before with UMaine football. I just don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Football's the sport that I don't know how they can play it, but I hope they play it.
I do too. I do too. If it's safe for everybody involved, but that
right.
With each passing day, that seems a little bit tougher. When you look at all these positive cases at LSU, Clemson,
exactly.
Rutgers,
right. Yeah, Kansas State. I mean, it's just you have to. There's a lot that you have to consider right now, and paramount has to be the safety of everyone. And it's not just the people on campus; it's that entire community. Because you're going to have kids who are testing positive who are going to be going into the community, maybe to a store or something, and college towns. They're going to be affected.
Absolutely. It's certainly a story that is only beginning, and we'll see much more to come in the weeks ahead. But check out Mike's piece in this weekend's Portland Press Herald, Maine Sunday Telegram. A really interesting story, Mike, covering all the bases, as always, on youth sports in Maine. Mike, good to talk to you, as always.
Hey, anytime you need somebody to just waste 15 minutes or so, just give me a call.
You'd be safe doing that yard work, too, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
Thank you, Mike. Mike Lowe with us on Downtown.